Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Russ Avison right here on LA Talk Radio.
If you'd like to be surprised, as our engineer opens up our opening music, I'm looking at my screen going, wait a minute, whose music is this?
That's what I was going to ask you also.
Apparently, it's ours. Because
it's ours.
So, welcome to the new LA Talk Radio, the Writer's Block, and hoorah! Anyway, this is the Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina, and the chuckler you hear in the background is Mr. Russ Avison, my once-a-month co-host.
Hey, Jimmy. Good evening.
Hey, Rusty. How you doing?
Well, better than you. I don't have any snow on the ground.
Well, we have very little left. I mean, what's left now is ice.
Oh, well, that's worse.
It's been like, I got up this morning, it was a nice balmy 12 degrees. And you know, of course, you open the door for Bella to go outside, and she tiptoes across the high spots in the snow because I think it hurts her sensitive little feet.
You sure she's a dog, not a cat?
Shit. No, she's a kid. She's a kid in a dog suit is what she is. She's so fickle.
Hey, I got to tell you my good news since we spoke last.
You're pregnant.
Well, besides that, I got my first COVID vaccine.
Oh, did you really? How did you do that?
You know what? I belong to UCLA Health, and I got an email, and it said, you're invited to make an appointment for the COVID vaccine. So I got the email at 3 p.m, and I had an appointment for 8 o'clock the next morning.
Wow. See, we can't, there's no vaccine in Idaho.
Well, are you guys getting the message yet?
No, apparently not. I don't know. I mean, Jerry is driving himself crazy trying to find vaccine, and where we are in Ada County, which is southwest Idaho, there's like no vaccine anywhere.
That's anywhere. Crazy.
You go online and they say go online and you know do this. So you go online, you do what they tell you, and the first thing that pops up is no appointments available. We have no vaccine.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Yeah, and it's like people over 65 are supposed to be able to get their shots February 1st.
Right.
It is now the 18th, and there's still no vaccine.
Wow.
So, you know.
Hang in there. Don't visit with anybody until you get it.
I don't go anywhere anyway, you know.
Then you can go dance with the devil.
Well, yeah. Or at least pay him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, here's $20. Don't mess with me. Go mess with Russ.
There you go.
All righty then. Well, you know, actually a friend of a friend on, and our guest tonight happens to be a friend of our co-host Bobby Jean Bell, and he's a cowboy poet, and the guy is like he's released his book. Reflection. There it is. I had to go back and look at the title. And the guy, this poetry is like so much fun. There's some really good stuff in there. There's some very poignant and heart tugging stuff in there. And there's some absolute nonsense in there. So I'm gonna let him introduce himself. Please welcome to the Writer's Block, Mr. Tom Swearingen.
Well, thank you. And
a little golf clap.
You know, some complete nonsense in there is a pretty apt description of some of the content.
Well,
some of the poems I write are humorous and, you know, whatever, and some of them are pretty deep. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's absolutely true for any poet, though, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe. Sure.
Unless your name is like Percy or... And oh, we have a barking dog. I don't feel
there
lonely.
There we go. They knew it was time for the show.
It must have been. I even asked you specifically about this one poem the other night, Roping Mama's Llama. What a great story. What a great story. And I agree with you all the way through until the time where it says maybe I'll buy her a horse. Been there, done that.
Because you don't think my wife needs another one?
I don't know how many your wife has, but my wife had one, and I got her another one, and she didn't ride either one of them. So I did. So I might as well have just bought myself another two horses.
Yeah, I know.
So Tualatin, in Oregon, I happen to know where that is, but I was not aware that a bunch of cowboys hung out there. Is that really true?
No. We don't. There's some horse people here. The cattle business in Oregon is a little farther south and east.
At east, right.
Yeah, there's a lot of eastern Oregon, southeastern Oregon, whatever. But there's an awful lot of horses in western Oregon. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, that I remember. Well, my sister used to have a tack store and a Western wear store in Tualatin. I don't remember the address. She didn't get a lot of business because she said, "Jimmy, there's no cowboys here." So,
but wasn't her store most, if I'm remembering, because I think there's only one that I can recall, and wasn't she doing mostly Eastern like English?
She was doing a lot of that, and you know, the jodhpurs and the Eastern, she was branching into like the Wranglers and the Wrangler wear, and then she carried some used saddlery and stuff. It was like a log cabin on the side of the highway there, and it was kind of a cool place. But they just go away.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the Boot Barn, the big franchise Boot Barn, just put a store in Tualatin. How that goes.
I mean, I spent many hours in cowboy boots and saddles and spurs and hats, and I just finally said no more. I got to quit.
You've got some great pictures of yourself with the horses too.
I do. I belong to a group called, well, two groups called, one called the Sespe River Shadow Riders, Living Historians in Southern Cal. And then I belong also to a group called the Buckaroos by Peter Shirako, who is he's an actor. He played Texas Jack in Tombstone. And the Buckaroos showed up at the movie sets with their own horses, their own tack, own weaponry, own clothing, everything. They didn't have to outfit anybody. And it was a real boon. It was a lot of fun. We did a lot of movies. But those days, of course, I'm afraid are gone. But Peter's still making movies, just not with me. Anyway, I digress. Your book is like, what made you sit down and think, I want to write a book of poetry? Cowboy poetry.
Yeah. Well, I've been... There's a pretty good answer to that. I've been writing and performing cowboy poetry for 10, 12 years, and recorded, and I've been a fan. I mean, cowboy poetry is just something that I grew up listening to, at least for a lot of my life, and started writing my own and performing. And recorded a couple of albums. I have three albums out of my stuff. And I had a bunch of people would come up after a show that I would do, like the CD table. And they'd have like a $20 bill in their hand. And they'd go, well, that's great. Do you have a book? And I'd go, no, I don't. But I have these CDs. And they'd go, oh. And I've sold CDs. CDs, I've sold really well. But they'd go, oh, well, gosh, I wish you had a book. And then they put their $20 bill back in their pocket. And that happened enough times. I thought, I really should put these poems in a book. Because I could have a dozen seller here, I mean. And so that was just on my list of something to do. And I actually started the effort about 4 years ago. I went away for a week I went to a motel at the beach with my wife and squirreled away and said, I'm gonna edit a bunch of poems and I'm gonna get them in book form. And I made some progress, and then other stuff came up and other stuff came up, and it just kind of backburnered. And it was always a kind of this big project just sitting there that was like, well, when I have time. Well, COVID hit, and my performance schedule, and like everybody else, has ended. I mean, last year, February 5th, 6th, was the last show I did. I did the Elko National Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Elko in January, and then in February, I was in Sierra Vista, Arizona for the Cochise Cowboy Gathering. And, you know, within a month, everything shut down. And, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. It's like shelter in place and quarantine and whatever. And I sat here for a little while and went, well, if I ever was going to have time, I had nothing but time.
So I said,
I'm going to get a book done. At that point, I thought, oh, I can get this done by July, because I'd been booked for a big rodeo, and thought it'd be really good to have that book done by then. Well, that rodeo ended up getting canceled too, but it set a deadline. It set I'm going to get a book done. And so I worked on it 8 hours a day for a bunch of days and got it together and edited the poems, which was a real chore for me. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with cowboy poetry, but the style that I write is what is often thought of as the traditional form. And you know, cowboy poetry is any poetry that somebody wants to write. I mean, it could be free verse, it could be anything, but certainly the poetry that I enjoy listening to is rhymed and metered, sort of works within patterns of rhyme and rhythm and accents and so on and so forth. And
well, you follow the tradition. Yeah, traditional.
Yeah, yeah. And
four
so
lines,
when I
four lines,
when I,
every other line rhymes, right?
Well, not necessarily. Well, maybe, but maybe internal rhyme. Maybe nothing on the end rhymes, but internal rhymes. Maybe, you know, maybe six line stanzas. Maybe couplets. Maybe, you know, a lot of different forms. But. Most of mine, you're right, or most of mine turn out to be four-line stanzas, and then some sort of a rhyme scheme and whatever, and some rhythm and so on and so forth. And, you know, if I perform them, I mean, I always write that way, but when I perform them, I can, you know, I won't say fake it, but I mean, I can speak over a contraction or something, and, you know, I can make rhythm happen.
I'll bet you could be a good rapper, too.
Right. Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Committing it to paper is a different deal. And it's like you stare at it on paper and go, oh, my, you know, I've got an accent where I shouldn't have an accent and I need it, whatever. So it took a lot of doing. But anyway, I got it done and hired an illustrator that I think did a really nice job and got the thing out in August.
How did you, I'm curious because I have to tell you, first of all, when I studied poetry in school, I hated it. I could never write it. Mm-hmm. It just didn't click in my head. Right. And then I will tell you about some of the things I read that you wrote that you had one that touched me quite a bit. But did you always think this way, that in the way of rhyming, of doing poetry, or did you perform and then decide, oh, I should write this out? I mean, how did you get into this?
Yeah. I was a fan of cowboy poetry from maybe the mid 80s when I first saw Waddy Mitchell and Baxter Black and some others that would be on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember seeing that, but, you know, I grew up with family roots, you know, farming and ranching families. And so Western music and folklore and so on was always something that attracted me. But when I saw and heard, particularly Baxter Black and Waddy Mitchell, performing, entertaining, rhythmic poetry that rhymed and made sense, told stories in a fun way, it appealed to me. And so since the mid 80s, I was a fan. I mean, we would go, my wife and I would go if, you know, if there was a Waddy Mitchell was performing anywhere, you know, Oregon, Washington, you know, we'd go and we'd buy a ticket and go to cowboy music and poetry festivals to hear cowboy music and poetry. And I did not intend to be a poet or a writer of poetry. I was a fan that appreciated being entertained by the genre. And then about 10 years ago, a friend of ours, a horse riding good friend of ours, died unexpectedly early. And he died in October of the particular year. And his family was going to have a memorial ride. He always had a New Year's morning ride out of his ranch in Molalla, Oregon, not too far from where we live, and followed up with a potluck with family and friends. And his family, so he died in October, and his family said, you know what, we're going to continue the ride, and now it'll be in his memory, and we'll just turn it into a little memorial ride in his honor. And I got it in my mind that I could write a poem, first one I ever wrote, that I could string some lines together and share some recollections or reflections on his life at that ride in that little potluck. And I did. And it was real emotional. I could barely speak it, you know, man, my knees were shaking, and it was quite an ordeal, but I got this, this poem out, and his family and friends were like, man, I didn't know you were a poet. And I'm like, whatever. And so I said, oh, well, you should write more. And anyway, that planted a seed, and I kind of got in my mind that maybe I had something to say, or maybe I had some ability to follow, I guess, initially for sure, follow the example. I mean, I could look at a poem that, a classic Western poem that I enjoyed, or a Waddy Mitchell poem or whatever, and get the sense of, oh, okay, I see how this thing, some of these things go together.
Okay.
And so I wrote a poem, and then I wrote another one, and then I wrote another one, and the next thing you know, people were wanting to hear them.
A plethora of poetry. Hang on just a second. Don't go away. Keep that thought. You are listening to LA Talk Radio's Writer's Block, and we'll be back right after this brief word from LA Talk Radio.
Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you've ever thought that you could be a radio host, well, now is certainly your opportunity. Go to www.latalkradio.com, find the link that says Be a Host, and follow the instructions. You know, everybody's got something to say. And if you've got a show that you think needs to be heard, how about you link up with us? Because we've got 50-minute shows available every day of the week, plus Sundays. So how about giving us a try? That's latalkradio.com. And listen every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, for the Writer's Block, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And it is now 6:17. We're back in the studio with our guest tonight, Mr. Tom Swergeon, and his book, Reflections. And we're talking about how he became a cowboy poet. And if you want to call and talk to Tom, the number here in the studio is 203-203-0815. I don't know.
You having a stroke, Jim?
I know, 203-0815, and you actually can call and talk live to Tom Swergeon, and continue, please. I've often wondered what makes a poet a poet, and I'm like you, Russ. I when I took poetry and literature, I hated it. Mm-hmm. I absolutely hated it. I could never catch the pentameter, especially if you're doing stuff like Chaucer or God forbid, Shakespeare. Holy shit. There's no way you can do it. I mean, even actors can't even do it. Well, most of the time. And so becoming a poet, which is kind of funny because I have my own book of poetry that I did.
Right.
From the time I was in 12th grade to 1983. So, which turned out to be a pretty nice book, but But I get it, I totally understand the wanting and the yearning to tell your story. I do it in novels, and I'm glad that you did it in poetry, Tom, because you've got some very good stuff here. And I have to say, there are a few that really caught my attention, and you know, they make you chuckle and they make you laugh. And one is, of course, Rope and Mama's Llama. Mm-hmm. And another one which made me laugh out loud was Thurman the Beer Mule's Dad Takes a Spill.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was a wonderful poem.
As long as the mules and the beer didn't get injured.
And then one that really caught my eye was Oregon's Outlaw, Henry Vaughn. Now, I heard the story of Henry Vaughn years ago. When I used to live in Oregon 100 years ago. And there was a policeman was telling me, he didn't stop me for anything. We just were bullshitting in a bar one night. And he told me the story of Henry Vaughn. And I believe it's Henry Vaughn that escaped and was running down the middle of the street on his horse, and his horse tripped and he fell off and broke his neck. Is that the same guy?
That's how he died. Yeah, okay.
Then it is the same guy.
He was in downtown Pendleton, Oregon.
Right.
In 1890 something.
Yep. And if they called it, it was like poetic justice.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that Thurman, well, you asked me the other night when you called to say hi, asked me if I really had a llama, or if my wife had a llama. And I said, no, that poem is just out of imagination. And the way I usually introduce that is I talk about my roping ability, and I can rope some, but my very best roping happens in my imagination, right? Which is where this takes place. But that Thurman the Beer Mule, Thurman the Beer Mule's Dad Takes a Spill, that is a 100% true story.
Oh, really? Well, it sounded like it was.
That happened on the Pendleton Roundup wagon train ride, I don't know, 6-8 years ago. And it didn't rhyme when it happened, but I rhymed it up. And so there you go.
Hey, you know, Tom, you perform, or well, had been performing until the pandemic. You'd been performing a lot of your material. Would you mind reading one for us?
Oh, please do.
No, I'd be happy to.
If you don't mind, and I'll tell you, it's page 82. The one that, and I'm not kidding you, I had tears in my eyes when I read this one. The Night Wind, Gentle Spirit, Noble Soul.
Right.
Oh yeah, I'd be happy to. That's a good horse. I mean, that was a good horse. 22 years, a good long time to spend with an equine friend. So there's no getting around sadness when coming to the end. Good night, Night Wind. We'll miss you, girl. It's time you rest peaceful now. Won't be the same without you here, but we'll get through it somehow. I expect you'll often find us out lingering by your grave, recalling all the good times we had and memories to save. We'll be listening for your nicker in the rustling of the trees and the calling of your whinny and the soft whistle of the bull. And in the evening darkness, when we scan the far fence line, we'll imagine your outline walking and you'll be doing fine. Sound as you were when we showed you and we rode the trails for miles or took kids on their first rides and you gave them all such big smiles. We'll take comfort in those memories. Now you rest your noble soul. Rest easy, gentle spirit, for there are no more miles to go.
Wow.
Thanks for asking.
I can see the Rainbow Bridge.
But you know what? Now I understand why you're so popular in doing the live presentations. That was beautiful.
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
And it choked me up again.
and having lost horses, you really buy into that poem because it really strikes your heart. Nothing is worse than having to watch your best friend go down. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'll ever get over that. My horse, String of Roses, was like that. So I do get it. I do get it.
Yeah.
But you've got some wonderful stuff in here. I mean, and it's your titles. Some of them are just great. Yeah, you know, it's Well, you have one here that is bomb-proof Pinto mirror, and I know that's a lie. Yeah. I've ridden many Pinto mirrors, and none of them were bomb-proof.
Well,
none of them.
I'll tell you, the bomb-proof is one of the first poems I wrote, and I'll tell you that the first, gosh, I don't know how many lines. Let me look at it here. The first couple of stanzas, anyway, came out of my mouth spontaneously when the situation that's described here happened. The rest of it didn't happen, but I bought a horse that was 9 years old, was a well-trained horse, but we didn't know each other that well. And so for 30 days, had her just did groundwork and kept her on the property. And after a month, it was time to head out the driveway and down around the corner and into the timber. Not in Tualatin. We keep our horses in Estacada. And I'm sure, Jim, you know where.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly where it is. Yeah.
Foothills of Mount Hood. And we ride into those. That's kind of the territory we ride most. And Lexi got to the end of the driveway and saw a mailbox she'd never seen before, which in the mind of a horse, if a horse sees something it does not recognize, it immediately thinks it's there to eat them and acts accordingly and flees. And so this horse is this bomb-proof Pinto mirror I was riding just blew up. But I stuck with her. You know, she just made this big evasive move, and you know, I kind of caught me off guard. I think I was still squirreling my lunch away in my saddlebag or something. I mean, it just caught me off guard, and it out of my mouth, right then in that moment, I said, "The horse's new owner lie there staring up at air. Apparently, he'd underestimated the bomb-proof Pinto mirror. You know, barely stepped the stirrup and settled up on top, and that horse gave one mighty buck and launched into a flaw." You know, I said that out loud, and then later I go, "Oh, you know, I could probably continue that story, turn it into a poem." And yeah, bomb-proof's one that people like hearing. It's a fun thing.
Yeah, I had a horse that was afraid of concrete. And we'd be galloping along in this river bottom, and we'd come across a chunk of concrete, and she would absolutely panic. And she would, like, crank a hard right. And if you weren't waiting for it, you were turning a hard left. And I finally just got used to her being – and I finally just made her turn around and go back to the concrete and sniff it, and it's not going to hurt you, Mariah. It's just a piece of non-existent stuff. It's just stuff. Just so she finally got over it after years, but – I never once came up with a verse when it happened. I came up without a program. I did. But I love stuff that echoes real life, and you've got some stuff in here. I just love this stuff. So
okay, then we got I have to read another one too.
Yes, please, if you wouldn't mind.
One in particular you want to hear?
How about one to ride the river with?
Yes.
Yeah.
Page 16.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I know all these by memory, but since you said
since I said page 16, I screwed you up.
Page 16. Yeah. I'll pull it up. Yeah. One to ride the river with. And I'll tell you that this is written about a friend. That cowboy on the paint horse, pretty darn good pard. He's been there, seen it, done it, to times both good and hard. He's been at it for some time now, a good long stretch of years, rounding up calves and mamas and turning bulls to steers. He's worked on some big outfits, been boss on one or two, and taught a lot of other hands a bunch of what he knew. And man, have we learned plenty, not punching, and much more. Getting advice a wise man be best to not ignore. Taught us what it means to be a worthy friend and hand, about love and work and honor and how to treat the land. Told us, don't just do a job, you give it all you got, because you only go around one time, so life's worth your best shot. He's shown us the importance of keeping our word true, that if you make a promise, do what you say you'll do. We've watched him facing hardship with determination, and no matter the outcome, show appreciation for folks that stand by you, that come along a side, that ride with you through the humps and cheer you through the ride. One to ride the river with, that's his reputation. The kind you can depend on in that situation. I've had the good fortune of knowing some good men. The kind you can look up to and hope to see again. Not just for their achievements, although they're worth remark, but for how they live their lives and how they give a spark, kindling those around them to glow and grow and give, make the world a better place, and show us how to live. I ask, please, Lord, for more friends like the one thought of now. Give me more just like him, Lord, and please, if you'll allow, a lot more years for my friend so he can show us more what it means to live with greats before the other shore. I wrote that for
cowboy. I love that.
Thank you. I wrote that for a cowboy poet and a real good cowboy named Trey Allen when he was struggling with cancer, and he's passed since, but he enjoyed that poem very much, and it was a pleasure to be able to share that for him. Thank you for asking for it.
Oh, of course.
You're very welcome. And hang on just a second. Keep that thought going. And you're listening to LA Talk Radio, and this is The Writer's Block, and we'll be right back after this live word from All Dogs Rule.
You know, I was thinking that this is probably about 3 months premature, but you know, things are getting better. And finally, when you're ready, you're going to be leaving on vacation. Your tickets have been purchased. Your hotel reservations are confirmed, and you've suspended the mail delivery. But, oh, wait a minute. What about the dog? Well, All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepovers. It's the place your dog wants to be when they can't be with you. All Dogs Rule provides your best four-legged friend a place to run and play outside among orange trees and grass in a country setting. Your dog gets to be, well, a dog. All Dogs Rule offers additional services, including individualized playtime, personal walks, swimming sessions in the creek, and training. Visit All Dogs Rule on the web at www.alldogsrule.com or give them a call at 805-524-1100. And when your pup returns home, that smile on his face will leave you wondering whose vacation was better. That's All Dogs Rule.
And we are back. It is now. We are live with our guest, Tom Swearingen, and the time now is 6:31. And we were talking about Tom, and he's been reading some of his poetry, which is amazing. And Tom, would you mind doing one more? Because this one really touched my heart. It's The Visit, and it really, really, really
That was the one I was that's the one I was hoping for.
Sure. Let me you know,
let me screw you up. It's page 94.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that. I should, one of the traditions, and it's not a hard and fast rule. The cowboy poetry police aren't going to bust down the door if I read a poem. But most, if you go to a cowboy gathering, cowboy music and poetry festival, most often you'll see people reciting from memory. That's the oral tradition, and that's how most of us do it. As we get older, memories go, and we can, like I say, nobody's going to bust you if you read one. And so I know all of these poems, almost all of them, because certainly the ones that I perform, I've done them enough that I know them. But like you say, if it's on page 94, I'm still going to probably turn to 94 and look at it. I appreciate that. This is The Visit. He knew his knock would someday not be answered. The day would come, there'd be no stir within, no creak of step on aged wooden floorboards, no lifting of the latch, no come on in. No giving ear again to his grand stories of Badwin's Road and following the creed. His memories of a life well lived and cherished. No wish I had, regret, or need. No sitting in the flickered light of candles and hearing of old times, new hopes, new fears. A future that's now lonelier and harder with each new sunrise, morning that appears. Each winter about this time he paid a visit to sit and listen, looking on his friend. The last few years both knowing but not saying, each visit brought them closer to the end. This year he knows his knock will bring no answer. He knew that when he came around the bend. No chimney smoke, no window light, no footprints. There would be no more visits with his friend. The stillness of the cabin's what first struck him. And then the note left for him on the wall said, "I'm so glad you've come again to see me. So sorry that I've missed your final call. But knowing one day soon I will not waken, I leave this note to greet you if I've passed. I'm thankful for your friendship. Always have been. I knew you'd be here for me till the last."
Well, I actually have a tear.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is touching. And I think we've all had friends like that, which makes it even more touching. You know, it's just like, kudos, Tom. Just wonderful piece of work.
Again, I want to point out something as far as from my perspective on this is that reading the words, I mean, yes, I enjoyed quite a few of these, but
yes,
hearing you perform them is such a different take. I mean, when I listen to this, I can't imagine that somebody would not like any of this.
Your inflection is right there. Well, of course you wrote it, but your inflection is right there where it needs to be. Your pauses are right where they need to be. You'd get lost in it, and it's just like, it's great stuff.
Can you tell we don't get very many poets on the show?
we don't. I mean, I think you're the second poet we've had on the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I really appreciate what you're saying, and I agree. I told you before that, you know, I had recorded a couple of CDs. I have three of them now that are actually live concert CDs. When people would come up and ask for the book, or, "Hey, do you have a book?" I'd be like, "Well, no, but why would you want a book? I mean, they're meant to be heard, and you can hear them." Why would you want to? You know, would you rather listen to Bruce Springsteen sing a song, or would you rather see the word? You just want to see the words on the page. I mean, whatever, right? Beatles album. You don't buy the lyric sheet, you know. So, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. But the book has done well. It's and people, I guess that there are a bunch of people that sometimes because they have the CD or they've downloaded. I mean, all my stuff. I mean, it's all by our CDs or downloads. I mean, they're everywhere. CDs are available. I think and. Because every once in a while I get checks for 16 cents, so I know they're doing real well. the downloads, right? The Spotify.
Welcome to the wonderful world of authorship.
That's right. Well, I mean, yeah, the stuff that I sell, I mean, I get real money for that. But it's interesting, you know, the digital world. But right. I think sometimes people, when they get the CD and they go, okay, that poem, The Visit, you know, I really, can I get the words and the way to get the word? You know, it's like,
yeah.
But, so
yeah.
There are people that do want the book. And I think a lot of times the people who are buying the books have heard me. And so they can, it's easier to maybe, then they can read the poetry and hear it in my voice. But one of my challenges, and this sort of goes back to what I was saying earlier about editing, was, is somebody going to be able to read this on the page and the rhythm and the meter is built in and the rhymes are strong rhymes and, you know, whatever. It's like somebody picking this up, will they let their mind turn it into spoken word, which is what it's intended to be? And I think that's what people are finding is that they can.
I think you did. I think it's exactly what it does. My brain, when I was reading this, my brain automatically was going to the pentameter of the verse. And so, I mean, trying to say it out loud, it was a little more difficult than my brain doing it. So yeah, you've done it. You've done it. Go ahead.
Are you familiar with Baxter Black in any of his?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And Waddy Mitchell.
Yeah. So Baxter Black, he was telling me after reading the book, and which is another sort of a side. I'm not trying to drop names, but I guess I am. It's like I started watching, as I said, Baxter Black and Waddy Mitchell back in the 80s. And now, you know, Waddy Mitchell writes a blurb for the back of the book. We're friends. We've performed together. And it's like I pinch myself sometimes going, how did that happen? And Baxter, likewise, I've been on, you know, I'm looking across my room here at a poster with his name and my name, and his name's a lot bigger, but by God, my name is on a poster with Baxter Black for a concert. And, you know, and he calls me every once in a while, and, you know, it's pretty interesting. But he has talked to me a lot about what you mentioned earlier about sort of what he calls academic poetry. And he grew up, like me, not really having an appreciation. You can have an appreciation for classic poetry, Shakespeare or whoever, your, you know, Longfellow or whoever. But more appreciation for the entertaining, rhymed and rhythmic storytelling poetry. And so, yeah, for the most part, you know, we're not doing academic poetry. But in some cases, and I don't know, you know, maybe The Visit. I mean, Waddy told me, man, that's literature. You know, you're writing literature. You know, I just started writing stories that I thought people would enjoy. And I try real hard to actually make it a little unpredictable. And, you know, I don't want to be doing doggerel and just, you know, sing song stuff and whatever. But yeah,
you've done good. People might. You've done good. And I got the break here for one last break, and we'll be right back. And this is LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Writer's Block, and we'll be right back after this brief word from Creative Edge Publicity.
Hi, Jim Christina from The Writer's Block here with some great big news. If you're an author or inspiring to be one, then you better check this out. Creative Edge, one of Canada's top boutique publicity firms for authors, is now expanding. They are dedicating themselves to promoting authors, indie and traditional, in all walks of life, all genres, and they're looking for all opportunities. Owned by Mickey Mickelson, Creative Edge has the passion, the contacts, and the knowledge to help authors and other artists build their brand and get their work noticed. You can contact Mickey at mickey.creativeedge@gmail.com to get started, or you can go to www.creative-edge.services. Creative Edge Publicity. It's your brand. It's your future.
And we're back. It is now 6:42, and we've been talking to Mr. Thomas Werenjen. And you know, Tom, I the only other poet we've ever had on the show in 6 years we've been on the air is what's her name, Russ? she's a Fillmore girl. Man, I just had a brain fart the size of Idaho. I'll come up with it. But she does songs of the Sespe and the Sespe River Valley, and she does them to music, and they're just gorgeous. She does. I mean, she takes poetry and pushes it into prose as well. And it's just very well done, but your stuff is a little more separate. But again, you're the only two poets we've had on the show. So,
Tom, I want to ask you a question here. That when you're going to, like, I know talking to Jim and a lot of other authors about how they start with a premise of what they want their book to be about, and then they sit down and some people just chart it out, and then they put the scenes together and make it happen. When you're going to write a poem, do you have a story in mind that you want to tell, and then you start to put that together, or how does it actually happen?
Yeah, thank you for asking. It happens in a variety of ways. Sometimes, sometimes I have a story, and you know, I sort of maybe I know what the ending is, and now I'm just going to figure out how to get there. And other times, it's the opposite. Sometimes I'll just have, you know, like Roping Mama's Llama. That was just that rhyme. Mama's Llama, Roping Mama. I just had like, Mama's Llama. Roping Mama's Llama. Yeah, it was just an idea. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I bet I could I bet I could make up a little scene, I could make up a little story about roping Mama's llama. And so just got it going, and not quite sure where it would end. Uh-huh. And sometimes I start poems. I have a bunch of poems that, you know, I've started them, and then I, you know, I revisit them every once in a while and go, well, I still don't know where this is going. And if it, you know, if it doesn't have a reason for being, it doesn't get completed. But yeah, it's a variety of things. You know, the story of Thurman's, the beer mules, dad takes a spill. That was a story. That was, I was just telling what happened, and then trying to do it in a clever way. And other times it's just I got four lines that intrigue me, and I see where they take me.
Interesting. Huh. How long does it take to usually write a poem, or is there, I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, that's all over the board too. You know, I've written a few poems. It's rare, but there are a couple of poems I've done that maybe happened in a day. I mean, just because they were, I don't know what about them, but just, I was just really struck with an idea and it just started to flow. And I have others that, I just finished one the other day that I think I started 2 or 3 years ago that would just, you know, would work on every once in a while. So, you know, usually, you know, a few days, a few weeks, a few months, 4 years. I don't know.
that just kind of rolls us into the question we ask every author is on the show. Oh, Andrea Kidd is the name of that other poet.
Oh, okay. I know who she is.
We have 5 minutes left, and in that 5 minutes, Tom, have you ever had writer's block? And if you have, how did you get through it?
I guess I've had writer's block, but maybe different than what people would think of. You know, if you're writing a novel or something, and are really stuck. If I'm writing a poem, I'm writing it for my own amusement and potentially an audience's amusement. And if I get stuck on it and put it away, yeah, it's not like I'm missing a deadline or anything. So sure. I don't get too worked up about it. I will sometimes get stuck in the process of trying to conjure up a rhyme, a good rhyme, or make the meter work. And I use, you know, it's a rhyming dictionary. I use an online rhyming dictionary that helps. I use a thesaurus. And sometimes if I'm really stuck, because I can't, you know, I want to say curious, but that doesn't rhyme with anything. Well, it does. All of a sudden I'm going curious is furious and whatever. I can rhyme that easy. But I'm looking at a word that says curious. So, you know, if I want to end with this word that says curious and that's not working, then I'll think, oh, well, okay, I'll say inquisitive. You know, whatever instead, and that'll get me over the hump and move on. Except that inquisitive's got four syllables, and the thing only takes three, and then I'll have to, you know, becomes a mathematical deal. It's like, oh, I got to figure out, maybe I could be curious in the middle of the sentence and turn it around, and so those little challenges come up that might be a roadblock. It might really be stuck on how to make this thing work, and then I just step back and go, oh, well, if I turn that horse from a mare into a gelding, that would work. I can't rhyme gelding, but I bet I could turn her into a mare. Oh, bingo. Well, writer's block's over. Move on. I will say
go ahead.
I just want to say one more thing, because if nobody's going to say it and we're running out of time, is somebody going to mention my website where these books?
We are going to do that right now. If you wouldn't mind mentioning your website, your email address, and every place they can contact you.
Yeah, thank you. It's OregonCowboyPoet.com. OregonCowboyPoet.com. And if you, my email address is OregonCowboyPoet@gmail.com. My Facebook is easy to find, Tom Swearingen, Cowboy Poet. If you Google Tom Swearingen, Cowboy Poet, you'll find me. Yeah, I'm pretty easy to find.
So I've been told. No.
Well, I mean, it's like
Tom, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's sometimes it's a hassle, but we really enjoyed having you, and I'm sure our audience has enjoyed having you. And once you get another book out there, get a hold of the bookie and let's see if we can't get you booked. We're booked up through June now, but sometime during the latter part of the year.
Yeah, well, this has been a real treat. I've enjoyed visiting with both of you, Jim and Russ, and this has been wonderful. I appreciate it.
And by the way, I just wanted to ask one last question. You have a CD, obviously, of your material.
Three CDs.
Is there one that contains a lot of what's in this book?
All the CDs, most of the content. I mean, I think there's 46 poems in the book. The CDs have roughly a dozen poems each.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a bit of the material is recorded.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And those are out that same OregonCowboyPoet.com, and the lineups are all there, I think.
Excellent.
Well, thanks again for joining us, Tom. It's been great having you, and we do hope that you come back and visit again.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. As Mr. Tom Swearengen, the name of his book is Reflections, available actually on Amazon.com. So you might want to go there and see, or you could probably go to Out West, www.outwest, and Bobby G probably has some copies there. Absolutely.
I don't
please.
Think it's on Amazon. I don't.
You know, I think I found that on
CDs
Amazon.
Oh, well, good. That's good news to me.
I believe it is on Amazon, but we'll double check that. But again, that's Mr. Tom Swearengen, and hopefully he'll be back with us. Next week, we have Mr. Dave Munsick. He is a Western singer and songwriter, and he has written a book called On the Road about his travels while he's traveling around the country doing his Western singing and songwriting. And before we go, I'd like to mention also that a book that Richard Polinelli and I wrote called The Last Lonely Trail is now available in hardback and hardbound. And if you would like a copy, you can get a hold of us at TuscanyBayBooks.com, and it tells you exactly how to order them from there. And I don't know how much they're priced for, but they're not really expensive. But it's a great, great book, and it's turned out really, really nice. And, of course, the hardbacks and the e-books are still available on Amazon.com. So, Russ.
Yes, sir.
What say we kind of wrap this puppy up?
All right. Sounds good to me. This was fun, and Tom was awesome.
Me too. What a great guest. So. Yeah. Again, I do hope that he'll be back and visit us later on. Okay, for Mr. Russ Avison, myself, Jim Christina, Bobby Jean Bell, Ronan Rosner, and, of course, the wonderful, just all-seeing Sam Haston, we are out of here.